Welcome to Project Zion podcast. My name is Susan Oxley, and I'm your host today for this episode of Climate Brewing. That is the Project Zion series that deals with the causes and effects of our climate change and the climate emergency that is impacting us today. So I'm recording this podcast in Seattle, Washington, where I live, but I'm Zooming with my good friend Andrew Fellows, who goes to the Clay Cross Congregation near his home in Derby, England. Andrew and I are both members of the North American Climate Justice Team, and he is a dear man, a good friend of mine. And a few weeks ago, we attended the 2025 World Conference of Community of Christ. We got to see each other in person, which was a treat, instead of just on Zoom, and enjoyed together that very historic conference in our church history, where we ordained our very first woman prophet president, Stacy Cram. Both Andrew and I were aware of the Holy Spirit as it moved through the week. And we celebrated the fact that Stacy's counselors included another woman, Janae Grover, and also the first African to serve in the presidency, Punda Chibwe. So that expanded the diversity among the leadership of the church in a great, wonderful way. And we did pass three climate resolutions. All three of them passed. And one of them, Resolution G5, is one that our North American Climate Justice Team sponsored that dealt with the transition away from fossil fuels, asked people to divest from the fossil fuel industry, and support the movement toward a fossil fuel proliferation treaty. So that's just a brief summary of the conference we've just concluded. And Andrew, I really appreciate your joining me today to talk about World Conference. So welcome.
Thank you, Susan. Yes, it was. Wow, what a conference, wasn't it? There was so much going on, full on. From 8:30 in the morning till 9:30 at night, every day. There was so much happening. It was, but great to be there. Historic, it was historic. Okay. I mean, with a new prophet president in Stacy Cram, and then, you know, the new first presidency, and then six new apostles, young people too. It was great to see, really was. And then we had our climate. Yeah, bits and pieces too.
So tell me what your thoughts and feelings were as we confirmed Stacy Cram's call to prophet president and then ordained her. Just talk to me about what you were thinking and feeling.
Well, I think overall for the week, we knew what the theme was going to be, Hope is Here. And I wasn't feeling that hopeful about the world when I went to conference, to be honest. You know, I can see all the pitfalls of climate and peace going wrong around the world. And so coming to conference, it wasn't really a very hopeful environment to come into. But almost immediately, there was this feeling of hope, and that built and built and built as the week on. And it was definitely a feeling of a chance for our church, our faith to move forward and move forward in a hopeful way. And as Stacy put it, we choose hope. And in choosing that hope, I think we became much more hopeful as the week went on. So yeah, it was just a joyous experience to have that. For Stacy to come back in after the vote, realizing that she'd been approved, you know, coming down that central aisle, that was quite something. Come back into. She was obviously very happy. Everyone was really happy. It was a unanimous feeling in the room. It was.
I agree. I just felt that sense of hope, like you, almost immediately. And I did not go with a sense of hope either. That was something that was a gift. The first few days, I think I cried more often than I have for a long time. Both sad and joyful when Steve Veazey announced the dissolution of the first presidency as his last official act, I cried. And when they walked off the stage, I cried again. And then when Mareva got up there as the president of the Council of 12 to preside for the few days before Stacy's ordination, I cried again. And she announced her counselors, and I saw that there was Bunda and Richard James from your United Kingdom as her counselors. It was the first time in our history, even though it was only for a few days, that we had no North American members among the first presidency taking charge of the church. And I
That's right.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
It was.
Very emotional.
It was really, really nice. Yeah. And it showed what a variety of leaders we have for the future too. You know, I feel very secure now in our leadership. I think we've got the right team in place. And I think we could see some dynamic things happening in the next few years. It's good
I
to see.
I think so. Yes, I feel the same way. I thought Janae did a great job of presiding on her first day. She'd never done that before. She had a few challenges.
Yeah, well, like an evacuation, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're evacuated down to the basement because there's a possible hurricane. One touched down within 5 miles or something, and so we were evacuated. And it was quite, that was quite an emotional experience, actually. There was some people struggling a bit with that whole concept of being in a basement together, thinking that, you know, might get struck at any moment. But everything was fine, and we were able to resume. And no, she did a great job in holding all that together and moving the business on once we were back upstairs.
Yes, some of those delegates had never experienced the possibility of a tornado before. And just the very thought of having a tornado approaching, and they'd seen photos of devastation. So there were people who were in tears and who were very frightened.
Yeah.
But that's right. Do you remember what it felt like to be down there?
Yeah.
In general, it was not a fearful experience.
No, it wasn't a fearful experience. People were singing, and that's right. It was quite relaxed. And it was funny because, well, on a slightly non-humorous side, but on walking back up, I said, is now a good time to talk about the climate?
Yes.
To my people. Yeah, that's right. We got this very early warning. So, yeah, storms are happening even earlier every year.
Yes.
It is a bit of a wake-up call for us.
I wonder how much that helped pass all of those climate resolutions.
I wonder if it had any impact at all.
I don't know.
Don't know.
Yeah.
But it definitely was. The conference was in a mood for passing resolutions, wasn't it?
It was.
It was. And it was interesting the way that the statement on nonviolence found its place quite quickly, really. I mean, it's been delayed for years and years now, and we were getting a bit fed up of it being pushed back. But no, it went on, and sure enough, was voted on and unanimous. It was great to see that statement for nonviolence. And it's going to be really interesting to see what the church does with that. It might be, they might use it as a statement for the temple possibility. You know, it could be used for all sorts of things. But yeah, it's good to have that down in writing, and it really establishes us as a peace church. I think that's a really good, really good starting point. And then came the climate resolutions. So, yeah, I was a bit unsure how they'd go. I mean, months ago when we talked about it, we were unsure whether it would pass, unsure whether it would even, you know, get included. It came to the forefront. Yes, okay, it was amended to be not quite as hard-hitting as it could have been, but it got through. That was just really good to see. I know that having stood to speak, which was an ordeal for me, knowing that I needed to, and to recognise that we passed the climate emergency 1325 3 years before, it was very important for us to, for me to be there and to speak to that resolution. And so I cried as well.
Oh,
I cried too.
I'm not the only one.
But it was over. Yeah, there was a few of us in my row in the Brits that were all hugging me, and you know, that was good that made it through.
Was that the first time you had spoken on the World Conference floor?
When I spoke to 1325, it was, yes.
And then first you time. Spoke to so, this one.
Yeah, got a bit of practice this time.
Okay.
So, good. Right. Yeah. No, it was good. It was good to speak out. You know, I think it's important. And I think people also saw that this was a continuation of 1325. It had to go much further. I really hoped that one day that we would have more concrete stuff going in, resolutions, things addressing the real causes, the things that we couldn't really do with 1325. We just have to get it out there and get it voted on and get it passed in order for it to open the door for other resolutions. And that's exactly what happened. So to have three was quite amazing, and for them all to go through.
Yeah.
Now, and I think it's because the developing countries having such an influence, for them it was a no-brainer, it had to go through. You know, it was really important to them to see a reduction in fossil fuels. That's the only way that their weather systems will improve, or at least won't get any worse in future years.
Yeah, members in our developing nations are the ones that are experiencing many of the major consequences of climate crises around the world.
Yeah.
They are the ones who are taking the brunt of the hurricanes and storms and floods and droughts that we only experience in small areas.
Yeah.
In our
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, even this June in the UK, we're now into our second heat wave of the month. We've never had one before in June, so highest temperatures ever. But of course, for people in the UK, it's like, oh, isn't the weather nice again? How nice that it's such a nice June. And of course, that, even though it's a record-breaking June, it isn't affecting people in the way that the weather systems are affecting people around the world. You know, it's not unbearable to have 28 to 30 degrees centigrade. It makes it difficult when it gets up to 40, like it did a few years ago in the UK. But for 30 degrees, people are just saying, isn't the weather nice? But of course, 30 for us means, you know, 45 plus in India. And
one of our delegates was mentioning the heat and the drought that he was experiencing in Zambia, and was saying, he just made the simple statement, and it doesn't cool off at night, and so we suffer a lot.
Yeah.
And that's such a simple statement. People don't think about the fact that the reason we can cope with heat waves is because usually it cools down enough in the night that our bodies can cool off and readjust and get ready for the next day of heat. If that doesn't happen, it just keeps on oppressing the body more and more, and the body doesn't recover. It can be deadly.
Yeah, I've got neighbors just a few doors away, and they've got family in India, and last year they were saying that they were having months and months of 45 to 50 degrees.
No.
Completely unbearable for day after day after day. You know, it would just be, you know, enough to drive you away from the place you're living. It must be pretty horrendous for a lot of people around the world.
How were their family members coping with that? Did they tell you? How did they deal
with it? They weren't coping very well, apparently. They were in a city, and it was just difficult. No air conditioning, of course. So yeah, life would have been very difficult. So the economy and everything would have been affected. People not getting to work, or not being able to work for as long, or, you know, so yeah, it would have been very difficult.
It would have been terrible.
Why we need urgent action. It's good that the church has taken some good steps this time in, you know, bringing this to the fore again, and so we can start making changes. And I think, you know, now that the church has made this stance so clearly, now we can start talking to congregations and individuals about changing the way that they do stuff too, and see if we can't get a knock-on effect happening You know, we're all trying our best to reduce our carbon footprints. And
yes.
The United Nations says by half by 2030. Well, 2030 is not very far away now. Now we'll start thinking about how we're going to do that half.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before we end?
I don't think so. I just think that the future can be really quite positive. I know we often harp on about all the things that are bad about the world, but actually, if we work individually in our homes and then with our churches and our congregations, I think we can start to make a big difference. And we can see a positive future there.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I'll look forward to seeing you on our team meetings.
Yeah,
take care
later.
Now. All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.